This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me, as always,
Professor Ben Vernell, the very knowledgeable one of the boys.
Mm-hmm. And my name is Mr. Adam Knox, but it's a kind... I don't care if you call me something other than Mr. I'm kind. I'll be polite. Anyway, you can call me Doctor. You can call me Sir.
Okay.
You can call me Ray. Or you can call me Jay. I only know that from The Simpsons. Yeah, was that a real thing?
I don't know.
I think there was a comedian who, like, his thing was like, yeah, but there to do.
Oh.
Like, he would go, you can call it, you get it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
And if you don't like that joke, or the just reference to someone else's joke, I won't be mean about that.
You did say,
I'll be kind.
All of the things you listed that people could call you were respectful things.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You can call me fuckhead, and I'll still be like, oh, well, you must have a problem with me. Can I solve it?
Mm.
I'm kind.
Mm. I'm getting distracted.
I'm a pushover.
Thinking about any time you fill out like an online form where it'll have a drop down menu where it's like, Mr., Mrs., Miss. Mm. It's like all the options, and then the final one will be, I'd rather not say. And it's like, why have this on here at all?
Mm.
Like, does this matter in any way? You know, when you're filling out just like an online application for like some book, you're just like creating an account to like buy a movie ticket.
And yeah,
like,
why do you need to know if I'm Colonel?
Yeah, yes. And if I have the option of just not saying,
yeah,
then just don't have it on there.
Mm. Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm. Thanks, man.
I think we should change the world from the ground up, and this is the start of it.
I might turn that into a bit. Yeah, I'm back, baby. You'll see these drop-down menus on them websites they got now.
Tell you what, when you get older, you start having to scroll down further, and it is a bad feeling.
I'm looking for bad bitch, and they don't have it on here, so in that case, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, it'll be useful for you to do comedy about online forms that much, because you'll know them back to front, and then it'll be easy for you to fill them out when you have to go back to Centrelink when your comedy starts going down.
That was a long that was a long joke we went on.
Well, next episode when you go blah 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 blah, I'm Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always, I'm going to respond with, I'd rather not say.
I'm a mysterious person.
If you guys both one
Mr.
week
Mr. X, I'll tell you Mr. me. But you don't get the rest.
If you guys forbid, yeah, rather not say X. If you guys forbid me from using your names one week on the episode, I'd have a tough time.
Mm.
So what did you think of this game?
The fat one?
Well, I wouldn't want to be impolite. I'd say the man sitting to the left of me.
Yeah, and when he sits to the left of me, he really sits around the left of me.
There was a tweet during the week. We talked, I believe, last week about the Resident Evil Village demo.
What? What?
Just the phrase. Like,
there was a tweet.
And you said it in kind of a newsy tone.
Yeah, it was a really nice segue.
Like Mal Alder going, there was a tweet during the week where... I guess their Twitter is on the news a bunch.
Mm. Yeah.
Has been.
Yeah, a lot of people played the Resident Evil Maiden demo, really enjoyed it, particularly at the end, the big... The very
tall witch.
The big fat. Oh no! Oh god! They're coming for me.
The woman to the left of you.
Yeah, the very tall witch at the end. Capcom felt that they had to get out there and say thanks to everyone who's enjoyed the character and clarify the official height of the witch in question. 9 feet.
Yeah,
well, that's really tall.
It's huge.
Really tall. She's a tall witch.
Yeah.
It's weird how much, because like Resident Evil 8 got announced last year, right?
Mm,
it wasn't, we didn't know about it before then.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was kind of a tepid response to it, or just like it didn't blow anything out of the water. Sure. It didn't shake anything up.
Yeah.
And when they showed that tall witch, ever since that moment, people have been like, you heard about this Resident Evil game? You seen this tall witch? Like, yep. They really nailed it with that character.
Yeah. The meme possibilities of it.
Yeah. Well, I wish we were all fucking taller.
Yeah. Wish I was 9 foot tall.
I didn't. This is dumb. I'm only realizing it now. I didn't even register as being that tall because, like, when I walk around in day-to-day life, well, there's a lot of people who look down on me from that perspective. Like, maybe the guy you're playing it as is, like, 5'7" and she's 6 foot.
But yeah, maybe. But no, the guy you're playing as is a man, so
not a manlet. No.
It didn't really register to me either in the game because it's like I'm not looking at Mario going, now how tall is this guy in the face?
All the angles they showed her from I was surprised when people clocked that she was tall as well. Because in those like little trailers, she was shot from above and like didn't look that tall.
Yeah.
Also, she's standing in big castle rooms, which have the highest ceilings of any room, other than hangar. So if she was in a hangar, you'd be like, that's a tiny woman.
The room that we all live on called Earth. Yeah. It's got a huge ceiling.
Tell you what, sky, the dome that the government put up to stop us from knowing what's really out there, pretty high up. They got a lot of money, that government. But she's tall. People love that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Capcom was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Yes. I in the last week have played and finished Resident Evil 7.
Yes.
I played and finished Zero as well.
Yeah.
Started 7.
Too scared.
Yep.
I went back and played through that whole game. What a fantastic game. Now, if you want to hear more thoughts on that, and indeed the entire Resident Evil franchise,
then you can go fuck yourself. Well, are my thoughts. Mr. I prefer not to say.
Mr. Kind is dead.
He was killed by Mr. Needlessly Angry.
We've just done a premium Bandcamp episode about the Resident Evil series. Mm. You can find that
as of Monday on Bandcamp, if you want early access to all the Bandcamp episodes, patreon.com. / Filthy Casuals Pod.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different tiers with all sorts of different rewards. The videos that we're doing now, you get them a week early. If you didn't know, we're doing videos every week as well.
Yeah, yes.
We're playing through Heavy Rain right now, and then we'll do another game after, and they're going to be weekly playthrough things, and we're going to start putting up more videos of other stuff soon too.
That's right, But
my asshole. I'm just going to film it for a few minutes and chuck it up there and be like, hey, guess what? This is my review of Hellblade.
If you want early access to Nox's asshole.
Yeah.
So...
buy me dinner first. Via Patreon.com.
The Patreon, it has that. It has our other podcast, Nintendo 69. So go there for that stuff. But yeah, if you just want to watch our Let's Plays, go to youtube.com/C/filthycasuals, I believe.
Okay.
I think. Or just go search it on YouTube.
Yeah. Why is the C in there?
Channel.
Oh.
Yeah, YouTube does that. Yeah. We didn't pick it.
No.
I don't like that.
What do you want to change it to?
I just want the C to be out of there.
All right.
Why isn't it just youtube.com/... I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this to the YouTube Corporation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to call Johnny Google and figure out.
All right, well, I'll do that straight after this.
I can't find his number anywhere. I binged it, but I don't know.
Hey, Jeeves, what's the number for the head of Google?
Fuck, we might have to use Bing in the near future.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of tech news.
It's certainly
video
tech
game
news.
Adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time to get out of the news industry in Australia because you won't be able to search for it on Google anymore, potentially.
Maybe we won't pop up. I just checked it. It is youtube.com/C/filthycasuals.
Yeah,
if
brother.
You want to do it quick. And they all go up there and you get them a week early on Patreon as well if you want.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google, like, man, I don't even really understand the fucking law that they're bringing in here, but I guess this is relevant to this because Google is like, so the Australian government wants Google to have to pay news corporations, specifically News Corp.
Yep.
If someone Googles the news,
yep,
and News Corp or whoever, a news Australian news channel,
yep,
shows up in those results, they want Google to have to pay that company for their results to show up.
Or to display within like Google related things. The full text of an article, I think
it's not even the full text though. Like they seem to have missed the part where like all the Herald Sun and shit, which is what is driving this because Rupert Murdoch has a lot of money and a lot of lobbying power.
Mm.
And if, like, again, I probably sound like a fucking idiot because I haven't looked this up fully, but I watched that little video that, because if you Google something in Australia currently, a big yellow thing flashes up being like, the cops are on their way because of what you Googled. And I'm like, no, it was a mistake.
Following in the footsteps of some of the great beggars out there, like Wikipedia and...
Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, like, a big yellow thing comes up. Our Patreon is available. Google, patreon.com/Google.
The Guardian loves it. Couldn't help but notice that you've linked us some articles. Could you chip in and help us out?
Yeah. These pieces don't think themselves. But the way Google is putting it is that if this law comes through and they end up having to pay news companies every time someone Googles their news, it's not even like a choice that they can opt out of. Mm. It would be that they just are required to do it. And it's a small amount of money, but it adds up, obviously. Then they will just go, all right, well, we won't let you Google stuff in Australia.
Totally. Yeah. It's rather than participate in that, which I'm sure they could. Google, if anyone has more money than Rupert Murdoch, it's Google.
But they do have a point that it changes the way the internet works.
Right.
And eliminates the entire power of search engines.
Yeah, what is it? Net neutrality, I assume, would be impacted.
Benjamin because, net neutrality.
because once there's money involved, it's like, well, maybe there'll be prioritization involved.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
And it starts making it so that people have a reason not to display some results in a search and that sort of shit. So it's a terrible, dumbass, clearly written by people who don't understand technology rule.
Yeah.
And then clearly not read fully by people who claim to understand technology, but then they say it on their podcast, which they struggle to upload every week.
But the point is, we're launching our own search engine. Go to filthycasuals.com.au and you can find all of our episodes. And maybe some other stuff, I guess, if you search.
Yeah. Probably if you find an episode, we talk about the thing that you might have been looking for. Mm. So
we'll find the most Googled terms in other parts of the world and we'll display the top 10 on our website every week.
That's not bad.
Honestly, is a great idea for a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nobody steal our idea. This is time stamped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each week, we're getting ready for Google to not exist in this country anymore. Yes. So each week, we're going to do an app that is one of the top Google search terms.
And we just explain that. We give you the information you were looking for.
We just go into it for an hour because it's like in 6 months, a year's time, you won't be able to find it and that'll be the only resource.
Damn. Okay.
Should we add that to Nintendo 69?
I think that's worth doing for a little bit. I think
Aussie Google.
Yeah.
All right. What would it be like if you Googled something in Australia? You Google sausage. Did you mean snack? It won't be like that. We won't be doing it like that. It'll be better.
Yeah.
I'm feeling lucky, cunt.
Yeah.
that's a good idea. We're gonna future proof this country.
Yes.
Okay.
Gonna get an archive of all these great search terms from around
and
the world.
Yes, it will cost money through our Patreon.
Oh yeah.
But, you know,
we're no better than
at
Google.
Least you're paying us, not some faceless corporation.
Yeah, we got faces.
Yeah.
And they're getting fatter and fatter off of your dime.
Yes. okay, so that's that news out of the way.
We're planning on
talking about this week.
Again, video game adjacent. It's not strictly about a video game, but it does concern a large video game retailer.
Mm.
Now,
this
is worth going into purely because when we recorded the Resident Evil episode, premium episode, Ben, after you left, me and Adam were talking about this GameStop stock market thing, and I actually didn't really know what
it was.
Now
that Ben's out of the room, let's have an adult's discussion.
Well, you explained it to me, and the way that you explained it was you got completely naked and you got into my bathtub, Margot Robbie style, and
filled
I was
up
like,
a glass of champagne.
Now.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, people would have seen all this stuff going on. People started buying. It's related to our show because it's GameStop.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know.
And I think, you know, the people who did it, who like the big user base of people were largely gamers. They were Redditors, but certainly there's a huge overlap in that. Mm.
And part of why it gained momentum would have been because it was GameStop.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
if it had been some pet company or whatever, or the other one, which was AMC, the movie chain, the cinema chain.
Yep.
That one didn't get as much attention as the GameStop one, but it had the same shorting stuff done to it.
Yeah, and they tried to push Nokia as another one of the shares to do it with, which, again, it did even less well than AMC.
Yeah. Mm. So they...
At least when the Nokia shares drop, they don't break.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
That's
that.
Pretty good.
When the GameStop shares drop, if you've paid $10 extra, you can get a free replacement
share. Yeah. Well, if you've bought the anti-scratch covering.
When the AMC shares drop, they find a hole in the bottom of the box of popcorn.
Oh. I thought you were going to say the floor is sticky, but yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
They
stay
there. You were going for that.
I was working on it. I really bit off more than I could chew there. Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to sit back and revel in someone else's joke, Tommy. I have a lot of practice in that. So.
But so currently, like, there's no point in doing a big explanation of it because you can find better versions of that other places. Mm. But
maybe not if you're listening to this in four years' time in Australia. Okay, sure. Maybe you can't.
Let's
quickly explain. This is a preview episode of Aussie Google.
Ben,
Google.
Yeah. I'm holding a pen. You
yes,
see that?
Yes.
Sell me this pen. Well, no, so, okay, this is my pen.
Yes.
You borrow the pen off of me.
Yes.
It's still my pen. Mm-hmm. The pen is worth $10.
Yep.
Someone else reckons that this pen's going to go down in value.
Yes.
No, you reckon that.
Yeah, I reckon.
Let's start again.
This is one of the astronaut pens that can write upside down, right?
Yeah, this is the astronaut pen from Seinfeld. Ben, because I'm holding the pen, this is easier. This pen belongs to you.
Mm.
You own this pen.
Mm.
I'm borrowing your pen.
Mm-hmm.
And then secretly, not even secretly, I'm allowed to do it,
mm.
I sell it to someone because this pen is worth...
Me. You sell it to me.
Yeah. The pen is worth $5. And I reckon later on it's going to be worth $2. Then I'm going to buy the pen back off of you for $2.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've made $3. I give the pen back to you.
Right.
Someone else notices it and goes, you know what would be funny? If we killed this guy. If we fucked this guy squarely in his asshole, which he uploaded a YouTube video of the other day.
Yeah. If we all buy stock in this pen to increase the value of it beyond the initial value to something, you know, 10, 30 times what
this
it was originally speculated at.
This pen is now worth $500.
Yes.
However,
so that cunt in the middle who was speculating and hoping for it to get less valuable and make money off it, he's fucked.
Because I still owe you a pen. It's your pen.
Yeah.
And I sold it.
Yep.
I need to give you a pen. So I have to buy that pen back off of Tommy for $500.
Yes.
Tommy's made $495.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost $495.
Yep.
My wife leaves me because that's the only reason she was with me in the first place.
Totally.
That's specific $500.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm filling out forms. Instead of Mr., I've got to put dead shit forever now. That's one in the drop down menu. Mm-hmm. Anyway. That's like kind of my understanding of what's happening.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And yes, the motivation for it was hedge fund managers being billionaires. It seems unfair to a lot of people. It is unfair.
Yeah. Well, because the way they do it is through that dumbass fucking thing that I just explained that shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Or it's weird that it is possible at the very least. Maybe it should or shouldn't, but it's weird.
Yeah.
But does it mean now that GameStop has way more money? That's the bit I don't know.
No, I don't believe it does because it's all speculation.
Can they buy more big red sale signs?
I don't believe they can.
Mm. Right.
I certainly don't think they can today because it started to fall.
Okay.
So I feel like, this movement is starting to break apart.
Well, they're saying it's going to go up and down because like the Wall Street-y people are trying to scare people off and get it back to status quo.
Yeah, and it'll go back down in value if the people who bought shares early and have seen those shares increase in value to the point where if they sold them, they would now be millionaires.
Oh, yeah.
Those people are starting to sell them. Like, the point of the movement is to hold on to them.
Right.
But obviously people are tempted by the money.
People love money.
Yeah.
Mm.
People love money.
But I've seen a lot of people being like, look, I paid $100 for these shares and bought into this movement. And now they're worth $30,000. But I also don't mind if they go down to zero. Like, I'm losing $100 for the sake of this moral thing that I truly believe in.
It's pretty nuts.
It's awesome.
Because like the whole thing's been fake forever, but it's been secretly fake.
Yes.
And they don't want people realizing that it's fake or else then it gets regulated as it should be. So I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's weird that it's GameStop.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that it's GameStop.
Yeah.
It kind of like, you know, there's a lot of the stuff where it's Elon Musk going like stonks and whatever, where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Get out of here, man. We're talking about you.
You're the richest man in the world.
Like, you did a bunch of shit to get it, I guess, but like still.
Yeah.
You can't have that much money.
We're sharpening a guillotine that has Elon written on it.
Yeah.
And
I'm gonna recharge this guillotine with one of your fucking Tesla things and it's gonna electric chair you while it cuts your neck.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how much I don't understand and dislike the rich.
Well, yeah, those stocks may go down to zero. And another thing that's gone down to zero is the number of first party studios that Google Stadia currently has.
Yeah, you want to talk about stocks going down.
Yeah.
If you were invested in Stadia, A, I mean, you could have seen it coming.
I mean, I feel like in the past, we every now and then we'll talk about Microsoft in a way where we're a little bit like dubious about the future and their first party kind of prospects and things of that nature. And people always, you know, there'll always be like a couple of people out there that get a bit irritated by that. I don't really think there'll be anyone who'll begrudge us too much for going hard on Google Stadia and its lack of promise.
Mm. To be fair, so the thing they've done is they've gotten rid of their internal development studios.
Yeah.
And it's still going to exist as a platform for streaming games.
Yes.
Which is probably what it should have been when they launched it anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even name to you what the games are that were developed by these studios. But the people who have, I mean, we can't get Stadia in Australia, I'm still pretty sure.
I think you're right, yeah.
But the people who have been playing stuff on it in the US or whatever that we hear from.
Yep.
Seem to like it. It seems to work well.
Yeah. A lot of people had the best experience with Cyberpunk through Stadia.
Right.
Because it was like, well, I don't need the high-end PC to run it because I'm just streaming it. As long as my internet's good enough, I'm getting the best version of this game.
Yeah. And you need good internet to play that game anyway because there's a patch every 4 days that's 20 gigabytes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a good service, but it just seems like there's not quite... They probably would have been better... off spending the time and money in acquiring more stuff for it, more third-party stuff that already exists, than funneling that money into them establishing themselves as a presence for first-party games, which you could maybe do down the line, but to come out of the gates trying to do that when it's such a big mountain to have to get up, it just seems like a bit of a waste of their time.
And it seems like they tried to set up their own stuff, which is what Amazon has done in the past that hasn't worked for them yet either. Whereas someone like Microsoft, who didn't have any they had more experience publishing games on PC when they brought out the first Xbox.
Right.
But they did the same thing then that they're still doing now, which is they bought Bungie.
Yes.
And they were like, we want Halo that is already being made for Max at the time to be brought over here and like get other people who know what they're doing to come to your house.
Yeah. Or like not even the extent of purchasing Bungie, just like putting together a platform that allows you to play games in a affordable and easy to use way. Like Game Pass is the best thing that Microsoft has done in years.
Yeah.
And if Google, I think, the huge mistake was like, here's the controller that isn't very good. Right. Here's the exclusive games that no one wants to play. And here's the price to play third-party games that you can get anywhere else. Like,
and it was a weird rollout there where some people got their things and it's worked on some Chromecasts but not others. Mm. And then the browser thing wasn't working for a while. So they just kind of... It makes sense that this hasn't panned out. It's a shame because like heaps of people are losing their jobs and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I read that they're going to be kind of... that they'll be kind of repurposed within Google. So, hey, maybe there's someone that was developing a great new game for the Google Stadia and now they're being moved on to Operation Fuck Over Australia.
Yeah. If someone Googles the word kangaroo, you track their IP and we're going to go get them.
Yeah, anyone who posts anything negative about Stadia, Google that and then somehow through that, get them.
Yeah. So,
but I think if they had just launched a service that allowed you to play games... maybe that you owned, or maybe there's some sort of link up with an existing storefront and play games through the internet without requiring the... like, that was the key selling point. You don't need a high-end PC to play these games anymore.
And
just
Google,
do that.
Google has this big-time internet infrastructure to make it work.
Like,
NVIDIA
has
a similar thing.
They have the capital to just sit back and acquire other stuff.
Yeah. PS Now is the same thing. We don't really have these services in Australia, so we can't really speak to how good they are to use or whatever.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that PS Now... doesn't work quite as well as Stadia does.
Right.
And that sort of thing. But Stadia, I mean, dead in the water, same as Amazon. Or the production of original games at Google.
Yeah.
I forgot that the Stadia even existed until reading this story about the thing shutting down. Because also, I mean, we talked about last week about Hitman 3. In other parts of the world, you can play a cloud version of that on the Switch.
Right.
Which I'd complete, which just never... I remember it was in a direct, it got announced everywhere else in the world except for... the localized direct that was screened on all the... It's like they just chopped it out of the broadcast. They're like, these assholes aren't going to have a hope in hell of running this thing. Yeah. Let's not taunt them.
Because what else was it? Control? The same thing?
Resident Evil 7. Yeah. But yeah. I think that might have just been in Japan as well. Not even the US, but maybe it came to the US at some point.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think those are the three big ones that you've been able to play in some capacity.
Control, I think the technology behind it was, I feel like, Microsoft maybe. But whatever the case may be, if Google had gone around to the existing console manufacturers and been like, we'll do the technology, we'll just take a cut, we'll take a licensing fee, whatever it is, they would just be making free money, basically.
Maybe, but maybe Sony or Microsoft or whatever wouldn't want to do it. Mm. And it made sense when it was first announced. I think we were all a little like, oh, this sounds cool.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
But the some of the specifics of how they did it with, having to pay full price for a game that you don't own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the same as if you buy it digitally on a PlayStation, to be fair.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it feels different.
It would have been weird if it, you know, this might still happen, if it really takes off, or if it had have had this huge launch where it was really, really successful really quickly, and this first, and, you know, their first party studio stuff had come out and was great.
Mm.
It would have been so weird to have all this stuff that's like great and kicking off that we just can't get in this country.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, at what point will our internet be good enough to be able to have a service like this?
I think it's now, potentially, in some places. I think Knox has probably fast enough internet for it.
Yeah.
It's that terabyte, I feel like.
Gigabyte. Gigabit.
What? Into the microphone. Get back on mic.
I'm turning off the air conditioner.
No. Gigabit.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I come home from gigging a bit, I have my fast internet. That's how you do it, dummy, or your spreadsheet bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to see the internal development studios come and go without knowing what a game that they put out, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder if they were also just not going well.
Possibly. I don't think they did release a game. I feel like
there was one that was exclusive to Stadia.
Yeah,
but
I don't
think
they made it. I think they bought it, but it was made by someone else. I think that these studios never released a game.
Damn. Well, rest in peace, Stadia Development. Mm. We hardly knew ye.
Game that has been given a new lease on life. God of War 2018 has been given the free PS5 upgrade, which is sick. It's good to see this stuff rolling out to games that I want to play again.
Yeah, because Neo upgrades come this week, which I think you have to buy for the first one, but if you're in the second, you get it for free, something like that.
The PS4 Pro version of God of War, you could choose 4K or 60 frames per second, and this update for the 5 is it's both.
Yes.
But you can still choose to do one or the other.
Right.
Why you would do that, I do not know.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's ones like The Last Guardian where that will run at 60 if you have the disc and don't patch it. But then they patched out the uncapped frame rate because on the PS4 it made it run worse.
Oh, right.
But if they double patch that now, that would be running at 60 on a PS5.
Yeah.
Bloodborne is a big one that people want this to happen to, too. So it's cool it's happening for God of War.
Mm. Yep.
I guess that was Santa Monica's decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or the developers of God of War. So it's probably still unlikely that, especially FromSoft, who don't seem to do these sorts of patches for their games.
Right.
Yep.
I don't think that they will patch Bloodborne, which is, that's the big one that everyone who was interested in it wants to happen. Because that game runs pretty poorly still.
Right.
And damn, it'd be nice to see this just roll out across the board for every game you could imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they bring in PS1 and PS2 and PS3. And actually, I heard if you put a GameCube disc in that it'll play GameCube now.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, my cousin told me that.
Okay.
So you just got to put a GameCube disc in, except you need to have a special one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it'd just be nice to have a machine that played every single game. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Someone should start working on that.
Why haven't they come up with that yet?
Control is on the PS Plus.
It is. The thing. Ultimate Edition is the free one of the free games this month for the PS Plus, which is great.
Because there was the big controversy about that game that if you owned the PS4 copy, you wouldn't get the PS5 upgrade for free.
Yeah.
And now they've given you that, but on the Xbox machine, you're kind of up fucking shit creek.
Right.
Over here.
And that's what I feel like is happening here. It's Sony, because Sony chucked a bunch of really good games on that PS5, PS Plus, you know, collection.
The PS, what's it? Yeah, the PS Collection, I think it's called.
Yeah. And they're dropping heaps of good games monthly now.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, they're competing with the Epic Store that gives you a free game every month and obviously Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's good that we still have this competition in gaming.
Meanwhile, Microsoft has made their Games with Gold get worse and worse over time.
Yep.
And they... Was this within the last week? This was since the last episode,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
They doubled the price of gold.
Mm-hmm.
People got mad. And mm-hmm. within 24 hours, they were like, never mind. And also, it's free now if you want to play a free-to-play game like Fortnite.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think over here still, at least, they've gotten rid of the option to buy 12 months, which was the cheapest way to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they have kind of increased the price in that way.
Right.
I think
terms of removing a discount.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you bought 6 months at once, you'd get 10% off the monthly price. And if you bought 12, you'd get 20 or whatever the it worked out to be. And I think it's all a push to make people get Ultimate with the Game Pass and stuff.
Completely, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought Control when it came out on the Xbox and never finished it. And yeah, had some frame rate issues and heard from you guys and other people that as you progress, the frame rate issues got more and more severe.
Right.
So I don't mind starting again. I'm rapt to be able to, you know, get it for free as part of my PS Plus membership on the PS5.
You're never too old to start again. go back to uni. Do it.
Yeah, I've tried a couple of times.
That's true. Maybe you need to go back to like primary school first and learn how to do homework.
That's
what I could benefit from. If I could redo that part of schooling.
Yeah, nap time.
Yeah.
I'm bad at taking naps.
My crayon hand is not up to snuff.
I presume that those issues aren't in there or at the very least are dramatically less on the PS5.
There's a 30 FPS ray tracing mode and there's one without ray tracing that runs at 60.
Great.
Right.
So, cool. Yeah, it's basically have it look like the PS4 but a higher resolution at 60. Or turn ray tracing on and it goes down to 30. Yeah. Same as Spider-Man, pretty much.
Yeah, great, yeah, great. Yeah.
It's really cool. Like, this is a fun thing about these new generations that I'm really enjoying with the Xbox as well.
Mm.
I think I prefer the Xbox to the PS5 in terms of just the hardware of it. Because the PS5 has started doing, I don't know if this happens to either of you, have you gotten the rest mode thing going weird? If I put it into rest mode, it won't turn back on with the controller or whatever. I have to go up to the console, push the button, it beeps. And then I can turn it on as though it were from off.
I've had this happen once, and it was like, also I had to plug the controller in via a USB-C cable to get it to even listen to it again.
Because sometimes it'll be like, hey, you turned me off wrong.
Mm.
It doesn't do that for me, but it just, the yellow light that's meant to be on while you're in rest mode goes off at some point.
Oh.
And it's happening to fucking tons of people.
Right.
Like, it's pretty much the rule rather than the exception at this point.
I haven't had that happen to me at all.
Right.
What I have had happen is I can never remember exactly where the disk drive is and I can never remember which button is the eject button button is the power button. So if they could fix both of those things,
yes,
I'd be pretty wrapped.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I'm not going to blame Sony. I'm going to blame the microwave that your mother stood near for months of the pregnancy.
I do agree. Like, they have not... The buttons have been shit for two generations now. Mm. Have the power button glow slightly and the eject button not. Do something to differentiate.
Sure. Power's a big one on the left. Eject's the smaller one on the right.
They're the same size, aren't they?
Nah, one's wider.
I can't even see them most of the time. I just feel around for them.
They're under my TV. They're kind of, it's not really in the light.
Yeah. I've gotten used to it because for a while there where I was still trying to put it in rest mode, I would have to touch that button every single day.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, it's really fucking annoying. It's something that hopefully they can fix in a software update, but it's frustrating because it means that all the suspend and all the turn the game back on quickly stuff doesn't work.
That's annoying. Course.
But on the Xbox, all the quick resume stuff works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Give you the best version, what's it called? Smart delivery stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really nice.
Yeah.
And you have Game Pass on it, which is sick. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, out of this console generation, I think that I will be mainly playing my games on the PC.
Right.
That seems to be the thing that I can get the best discounts on. And it has the largest library by far, obviously. Like, I've got the Epic Store, Steam, and the PC Game Pass now, which only one of them even costs money to have. And Steam has discounts all the fucking time. I think that I'm going to focus on PC probably.
PCs are pretty cool.
Hey, man. Except when Windows won't update, it affects the Xbox app, and then you can't launch games that you installed from Game Pass, so you have to reinstall the whole fucking thing again.
Because we've both been playing The Medium.
Yes!
I've been playing it a lot more than you, because my experience of doing it was turning on my Xbox, going, please install The Medium, and it going, yes, sir, right away, sir. Mm-hmm. I work perfectly.
Yeah. Hey, I had no issues installing it initially. I had issues launching the game.
Right.
And then uninstalling it and reinstalling it. Bit of a fuck around. That is the case with PCs, is sometimes something just doesn't work and you have to reinstall it or reboot Windows, like do a clean install. Like, it's annoying, but also Game Pass on PC is cheaper than the console.
Yep.
And when it does run, it looks great and it runs great.
Yeah, The Medium itself is like kind of buggy and runs kind of badly even on the Series X. It's the first exclusive to the new set of consoles, the Series is, and on PC too. PC too, pretty big improvement.
When are they going to get around to that?
Yeah,
it's been decades now.
Yeah.
That's okay. That joke's been done on the internet, man. Have a scroll from time to time.
Trying to not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'm deleting apps one by one off the phone. Feels great.
When's Xbox going to take my wife, please? When that's going to happen? It runs at 30. It kind of hitches up every now and again on the Xbox. And there's a weird glitch that makes the game look exactly like it would look if your video card was dying.
Yeah,
like little colorful things pop up. But
I've noticed pop in and stuff like that. Not so much glitches, but I have noticed some texture.
There's a
things.
Lot of that sort of thing. Yeah. But it's a lower budget game.
Yes.
Made by the same people who did like Layers of Fear and some other games that I never got around to playing.
Yep.
But were considered like sort of underground horror good. Like relatively good.
Yeah, yeah. Bloober is the company.
Bloober.
They're a Polish game studio. What have they done? They've done, a bunch of stuff that I have never heard of. Layers of Fear was 2016. Oh, Observer was quite popular.
Right, yeah.
And the Blair Witch game from 2019.
Right, so some sort of B-horror games. So this is probably their biggest one. And I tell you what, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, me too.
It's like a Resident Evil style kind of set camera, walk around an environment. But it is just an adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
It's puzzles and looking around a spooky area.
Yeah.
With occasional chasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems to be story focused.
Yeah.
Or story / exploration focused, I guess.
Yeah.
And that what that means in practice is a very beautiful cinematic game where they've thought about those angles, those fixed angles. They've thought about the way that this next area is going to reveal itself to you. Like a lot of beautiful things looming out of the shadows, great framing of shots. Like it looks awesome. I did not expect that because, I think what I'd heard about it was this is not a AAA game. And some people had some average responses to the launch, but I think it's great so far.
I'm really enjoying the story. It's well acted by the main character, especially, who is pretty much the one who's talking all the time. Mm-hmm. You meet some other characters along the way, and all of them are being done well. But the story is that she's a medium.
Mm-hmm.
She can talk to dead people.
Is she the medium or just a medium?
She's a medium in the world, I would assume, but the medium in this story. And I believe she's the only medium that she knows about
from
the beginning. But you sort of get a bit of a setup where it's like she used to work at this funeral home with her like adoptive father and knew she had these powers and would help people move on. So it was a good job for her to have working in a funeral home because she would be able to help people get out of this spirit world thing.
Your dead grandma said, get the fuck over it, cunt.
Yes.
More the other way around. It's not helping the alive people move on. It's helping the spirits move on.
Okay.
It's like, hey, dead grandma, your kids said, move on.
Yeah. Okay. It's the sixth sense, right? Yeah. But you play an adult rather than a young boy named Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, so it could be better, but the main part of the gameplay is like walking around these environments where you're either doing kind of a split screen thing where you're walking through the exact same room, but in one version it's the real world and in one version it's like the spirit world and kind of solving puzzles by interacting with the two different worlds. And then later on you switch between them and, you know, it does all those sort of things with the idea of having two different worlds to make interact with each other.
Right. And that's kind of the big thing that makes it a next gen, like why it's exclusive to the series is that the fast swapping between the two kind of different environments. Right?
Yeah. Mm. Other than the textures all popping in like crazy when it happens, it is seamless.
Yeah.
and when it is running them both in split screen, it's really effective because you'll like be talking to these ghosts and seeing the real world version of it and the spirit world version where you have these pretty good designs of these ghosts.
Well, also the environment, like there's a lot of stuff that's done really well in terms of like, oh, well, this is clearly a metaphor for this, right? Like the spirit world thing, it's like, oh, there's a lamp over there, but the lamp isn't lit, so I've got to go find a way to turn it on. And maybe in the spirit world, it's like getting a light energy from a being that's not there anymore,
right?
Putting it into this other light thing, and then it's like, oh, the lamp switched on in the real world.
And you're finding these like little cracks in objects that give you flashbacks to things that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And solving puzzles based on that, trying to figure out people's name because you need their name to get them to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go into a room where there's a bunch of chairs and there's a list of all the people and what chairs they were sitting on, and you have to figure out based on that which person was sitting in which chair.
Right. Mm.
That type of thing.
Right.
Yep.
It kind of can be a bit annoying when it has that puzzle game thing of like you might have come up with the answer already, but you have to go through the motions the game wants you to.
Yes.
Yeah, click on this chair to get it to say, okay, so if Johnny was sitting in this chair, then
that's
that
true,
means...
Yeah.
But they are fun and the atmosphere is so good and so like kind of unique. It's like this rundown old holiday facility in the Polish wilderness.
Mm.
And then the design of the spirit world I think is really nice.
Yeah.
So it's looking great, feeling great. And then you come across at some point in the story early on this monster thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really good monster. It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying all this shit about like, I just want to try you on. Mm-hmm. And like giving you these creepy things it's saying. It's Troy Baker doing the voice.
Yep.
You know, I've never heard of him before. But he's a young upstart who's giving it a go. And I think he's doing a good job. But like good, creepy, chase you around video game monster where there's some sort of stealth sections that aren't too bad where you're hiding from this guy.
Right. Yep.
The story is just really engaging, just a fun mystery with lots of the little notes left around for you to, you know, piece together what's going on. A big, awful, like you go to this facility, you get called there by some guy, you go there and she's like, I heard a rumor that this place was a site of a massacre, but I don't know if I believe it. Then you go inside and there's all these blood stains. You're like, oh yeah, okay. I guess it did happen.
Yeah. But, and I think, so we all have played Resident Evil 7 to some extent and I am enjoying it, but it is in some ways difficult for me because there are combat sections, although there's like runaway sections and stuff like that. And it, for me, it's detracting from the atmosphere and the exploration because, yeah, half the time I'm just like, well, fuck, something's going to jump out at me here.
Yeah.
But whereas this game so far, I'm reveling in the atmosphere because it is seemingly, to this point, about the atmosphere. It's about...
Right.
Taking in the beautiful surroundings and like coming over the crest of a hill and seeing this crazy like Soviet style, you know, holiday resort with half the letters falling off. And it's like, oh, this looks sick. I'm excited to explore it. And yeah, I totally agree. The storytelling is great. It's very engaging. And like right now I'm sitting here going, I can't wait to go back and see what happens next.
Same.
Yeah.
The way it's unraveling this mystery as it goes on is really engaging for me as well. And yeah, it doesn't have traditional survival horror type combat. There are bits where you're being stealthy and there are bits where you're running away actively, but they're quite fun and they're not frustrating in the way that survival horror combat can be. If you're like overwhelmed by fear from it and then trying to shoot, I think the way that it does the horror and the suspense in this game is very effective and done with like a pretty deft kind of middle ground, almost like a medium point between being scary and suspenseful, you know?
Mm.
And yeah, it's cool seeing those split screens. And when you're interacting with a ghost in the spirit world, you'll give them a ball and then you see the ball just floating in the real world.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
You know, it works super well. And it's a very video gamey thing because you can just plug that same animation into two models.
Yes.
Yep.
And have it work rather than a film thing where it would look a bit different or it'd look a bit weird.
When it's split screen, you can like click to focus on one or focus on the other. And I mean, yeah, I'm playing on a high-end PC and for me that is seamless. It's working really, really smoothly. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it works well in the Series X too, but you can just tell that they're, and the studio have said, Bloober have said, like, there's a couple patches coming.
Right.
There's just bits and pieces that aren't quite polished,
mm-hmm.
but they are polished.
Oh, and now that is a joke I've never heard on the internet.
Take my wife.
Having read about CD Projekt Red recently.
Take my wife. She wants to leave me because of that joke.
But yeah, I really hope this is a game that people don't overlook. I've seen, middling reviews, and I don't understand why, personally.
No, I think it's doing exactly... Like, it's a decent story unfolding well with engaging enough puzzles that... And it's the fact that it's on Game Pass and it's free, it really does help you just settle into a game and not question whether or not you're enjoying it.
And if you've got the Series X, this is the first exclusive for it. Yeah. So why wouldn't you give it a go?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yes, I think maybe people expect it to be like a Silent Hill or a Resident Evil where there's some combat and some ammo conservation and shit like that.
Nah.
Don't go in with that expectation.
Adventure game.
It's an adventure game with a good story.
So, this is Monkey Island, but scary.
Yeah. And that opening in the funeral home, it's beautiful. Like the graphics of that. And we don't talk enough about how we rate the graphics out of 10 on this show.
Okay. We need to start doing that.
Yeah. It's genuinely incredible. I think the attention to detail, the design, the fucking interior decorating of that place is incredible. It's,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, genuinely incredible, 9, 10.
Yes.
The tone and stuff of the story as well and how it's being conveyed in the visuals. Mm. Like it's all being done super well.
Mm-hmm.
Get onto the medium. The medium is a game that's anything but up to the higher end. It's upper medium. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the sort of thing I'd really like. Oh well.
Yeah. it's funny that for as much as they were saying like, things will be on the Xbox One for a couple years still.
Mm.
It was 2 months.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
But, and it's fair enough because like we've seen cross-gen games that can't run on the old consoles.
No.
And they shouldn't.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
That's what I said in this game and in real life to my Xbox One.
Yeah.
This seems like the kind of thing that, just technically wouldn't be possible on.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not a computer.
Anyway,
I can't tell you that.
It is time to move on to the next game we're going to discuss today. Cool. Destruction All Stars.
That worked. I want to die. Yeah. I'm happy to go on to the afterlife now.
This is, I guess, the first exclusive on the PS5 that's not like a remake or something. I know Demon's Souls is, but the first like original exclusive on the PS5.
Yeah, I guess so.
This was meant to be a launch game and then was delayed. I read that was deliberate so that they could have it be a kind of free launch thing.
It was
PS Plus.
Right, exactly. Mm. It's more that they wanted it to not cost $125, at least in Australia. They decided, hey, PS Plus is the place for this.
Yeah.
So it's free for the first 2 months.
Did
the
we
PS
say
Plus.
Destruction All Stars? Did we say the name? Yeah, cool. Yep. I just wasn't listening.
So it's up there now. Went up last night. Mm. It's a how would you describe it? It's a basically destruction derby. Where you can kind of hop out of the car and run around. There's various different modes. It's one of these games that is set up for online play.
Yep.
And I think they clearly are hoping that this will be the next big kind of Fortnite-style Rocket League.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, like why they would go, let's just roll this out and have it be free, because seeing the kind of uptake that, Rocket League was a PS Plus game.
That was the first big one that kicked off as a free game where they did better than if they'd have put it out.
Fall Guys 2 had that huge launch, so it makes a lot of sense to get people in and want people to invest down the line. And they have said that they're going to support this for at least, they've got a lot of plans of content that they're going to trickle out.
Right.
Damn, I haven't heard a studio say that about a multiplayer game before. That's exciting to have that definitely pan out.
Yeah. Well,
we talk about how the Battleborn servers got shut down? I don't think we did. But
yeah. Well, you're probably not invested in another multiplayer game, so you'll actually want to get into Destruction All Stars.
Maybe, yeah. There's not a lot around at the moment.
No, thin picking. So.
Especially one where it's like a whole bunch of players go into the one arena to have a combat scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fresh.
One where you drive cars around in a sort of arcadey mode.
Yeah.
Sort of replicating sports, but in a more fun video gamey way.
So I've not played it yet.
Mm.
What do you reckon?
The Mayhem mode, basically, you get points for, you drive your car around and then with the right stick, you can do these little slam moves that take a little bit of time to recharge every time you do them.
Right.
So you get points for slamming the other cars on the track. But that also then does damage to your car, and if you can eject out of the car. If you eject out of the car before you get KO'd, then you don't lose too many points.
Yeah, and you just run around and find another car because cars are always generating in the terrain. Yeah, okay, they're dropping in new cars all the time. Like, you don't have a car.
So your car isn't important.
Yeah. No.
It's you're a character who can utilize multiple cars.
Correct. Yeah.
Do you have a weapon when you're out of your car, or are you just trying to get into your next car?
You do. You can attack. You can attack other people, but you also can if people are driving at you and you dodge at the right time, you can jump on their car. And you then get like a series of kind of quick time button things to do. And if you do them properly.
Halo 2.
You get.
I promise.
You get the option of either taking control of that car or just blowing it up and getting the points from it.
And so then that person will eject. It's like the Titans in Titanfall, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So you're trying to kill the people.
Yep.
While they're in a car.
Or not on the ground, you can run them,
Run them over.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not even necessarily trying to kill the people. You're just trying to smash the cars up as much as you can.
Yeah, so is it points. Just timed and then you give whoever has the most points at the end?
Yeah.
So it's not an is this Mayhem, but there might be an elimination.
There are other modes. I played KO mode where, like Smash Brothers, you have a certain amount of lives. And
okay.
You can run out in that one. Or, there's like a mode, I forget what it's called, Carnado, I think.
Yeah.
Where, again, you're like collecting points, but at a certain point, you can cash them in by like driving into the thing in the center.
Right.
And then you regenerate and you go back to the start and you're just trying to bank points.
And if people steal your car, they get all the points that you've acquired if you haven't cashed them in the little thing in the center of the arena yet.
Yeah.
Cool. But so these are like some pretty standard kind of multiplayer modes that are in other games, but with this car arena thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pasted over.
Yes.
I quite like it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't generally... It's got like an arcade mode where you can just go through and play with bots.
Mm.
I wish it was presented in more of a... It's just basically you go into a menu and kind of like go, yeah, cool, I want to do this style of the game in this level on this mode. I wish it was presented as more of like a campaign-y kind of thing. You know what I mean? That like tracked like... Yeah, you've got a gold trophy in this one kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's in there is really good because I'm not as enamored with playing, you know, against 15 other people online.
Mm.
But I like the
character. I got to find out who's fucked my mom. I'm looking for my dad out there.
So I did go into online mode and immediately the voice chat started coming out of my DualSense controller.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I turn this off? And I can mute myself, but I can't turn off everyone else who's just talking shit the whole time.
I think you can in your settings in the PS5 menu thing. You can adjust where the volume sits between chat and game, and you can just turn it all the way to game.
Yeah, okay. That's preferable.
Yeah.
I did one round of online, and thankfully, just a bunch of real wallflowers.
Nice.
There was like one... I think I heard one guy go, nice, twice. The entire match, I was like, this
two
is
nice
heaven.
Things happen to him.
Can I just play with this group every other time I get online?
Yeah, fuck.
I like the character design. It's fun. I think the mix of being in and out of the car kind of works. Like they have, you know, we're making fun of how there's a million sort of style of this kind of game, but they have clearly tried to have a real point of difference and make something that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
Do these all stars come across as stars? Do you like are the characters likable or distinct? And
they are distinct.
They're definitely distinct and they're creative designs.
Mm.
Don't really jive with my personal taste.
The art style didn't seem particularly up my alley either.
It isn't.
Right.
But it plays great.
Okay.
The gameplay is really fun. Even the running around stuff, which you'd think like in comparison to all these cars buzzing around and you might feel a little slow. There's like you can jump and wall run and stuff like that. It's very Titanfall-y.
Yeah.
Cool. And that stuff, all that stuff is really well done.
I didn't realize that there were new cars coming down all the time.
Yes.
So that kind
of... There's cars all over the arena that sort of have different, like some of them are heavier than others and have more.
Cool.
Because you've got like a little health meter down the bottom of your car at all times. So you can kind of... You know, you can get to 75% damaged and go, I'm going to bail. I'm going to eject and run around and try and find a new one to get into. Or you can kind of, you know, roll the dice and keep that one. Because if your car blows up while you're in it, I think that's like significantly more points to the person who wiped you out. Mm. So it's kind of often not worth taking the risk. The character design, it's less, I was really not interested in this game when it first got revealed. Less Fortnite-y in motion than it kind of looked from what we saw of it in that presentation.
Yeah.
I read a thing last night about how they went to a bunch of comic book artists from all over the world because the characters are set from like all different parts of the world. So they got a lot of like graphic novel artists and stuff to like design characters for them and got all these designs back. And they were like, all right, I guess we'd better work out how to animate a guy who's got blades for legs and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And as a foundation, as something that is free at the moment and is pretty easy to get into, it's got a pretty good little tutorial mode where it shows you the ropes, and for something that they're clearly going to, hopefully build from this foundation on, I think there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah. Cool.
I could see this being something that I get into, and you know what, even if I never get interested in the online mode, the fact that, the AI is pretty good and it's fun just fucking around with it with a bunch of bots as like a... I think that was kind of all I ever ended up doing on Rocket League.
Yeah, right.
Was just fucking around for a quick 15-minute little session of doing a couple rounds. And, it's fun. It feels great. It's fun. It's fun smashing into shit. And, the little sideswipe moves you do feel good and it looks great. It runs really smoothly. I think it's really promising.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like the right move to put it on PS Plus because, like, I'm interested in doing this, but if it costs the same as, like, a return flight to Sydney at the moment, then I might not
absolutely
do it.
Absolutely. I think it was a really, really smart move. I don't know if it – just a big risk risk to put into a ultimately online multiplayer thing at full price on day one. I don't know how many people would have bothered. It'll be interesting to see if it's got the same kind of staying power as something like a Fortnite.
I
think it's doing just enough differently to be interesting to people.
With any luck, no one will get into this except you and me, maybe Nox, and it'll come and go. I don't understand why Fall Guys got so popular.
Right.
And something like this I have the feeling that this won't connect with enough people. And I don't know why.
No, I just have that instinct about it too.
Yeah.
You know? And I hate that that's on record because now it means that it will definitely be the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, it's on a brand new console that's still very hard to get. So And Fall Guys, I was reading this last night, it had a huge drop off after that first, after having that huge launch because they weren't supporting it with enough new stuff.
Well, and also it sucked. And the only reason Fall Guys got big, in my opinion, is because it was easy to go, oh, on Twitch too.
Right, yes. Right.
You fell off and you go, you know, that's what Twitch is to me. Anyway, I mean, I've been meaning to get back on there genuinely and do stuff.
Well, this does feel like the opposite of what I said about Fall Guys at the time, where Fall Guys just felt like you can't ever get good at this. You're just
not designed for that. Yeah.
This feels like you really could get good at it.
Yeah, this
you
is
can
the same.
Work out how to drive well and how to time those smashing into people perfectly.
Yeah.
Trying to get that balance between when is the right time to get out of the car. Because when you're out of the car, you can collect these little shard things that give you.
Normally I have to get into the bloke's car to get the shard. But
Shooter Williamson's favourite game.
You hop out, you fire up the glass Barbie, but
I'm going to jump out of this car and go over your head car. That's a real specific
it's
reference.
It's real specific,
to
but specific. It's real good.
Yeah.
If you fill this certain meter up with these shards, you can then summon your character's hero car, which is specific and unique to them and has like every character's one has like a different special power that you can activate once you're in it. So there is kind of an incentive also to get out of your car and run around the arena because that's the only time you can build up this meter to get that special car. So
I want to give this a crack.
Finding that balance, it does feel like something if you put the time into, you'll be able to actually build up a degree of skill at and get really good at, which was just something I never felt was there with Fall Guys. It was just like, why should I bother putting time into this? Like, it's impossible for anyone to ever really get good at.
Yes.
I would rather go and roll literal dice in the Yahtzee mode of 51 Clubhouse games.
Same.
It's the same feeling to me as Rocket League, where the first, maybe dozen times you play it, you're like, I keep just missing the ball because I'm turning too late or,
to me, but go on.
You just miss, you get those angles wrong to like meet the ball in the air.
Right.
But after a while, you get really good at it and it gets more and more fun. And this is the same feeling.
Okay.
After a few matches, I was like, oh, now I'm getting the hang of this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It's all there. I mean, whether or not it has the uptake, I don't know. I'm sort of similarly skeptical. I hope it does because I think it should. I think it's got more going for it than some of the other things that become popular. Mm. But whether or not that's a byproduct of it just being on, it's just kind of hard for people to come by. Yeah. But it's, hey, if you've got a PS5, it's free. So
yeah,
give it a spin.
Cool that there's a couple of, you're not free because you've got to pay for subscription services, but like games that you can effectively get for free if you are subscribed to these things that if you've got one of these consoles, you probably are anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Sound like you're about
this
to
video
go,
game thing might take off.
Sound like you're about to go, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sick of this.
I won't keep you. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We've got filthycasuals.com.au, which has all the links to the stuff that we do. You can get on the Patreon, get a bonus episode every week, get early access to the videos that we're doing. Check out the Let's Plays on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. If you like them, which hopefully you do, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback, a lot of very nice, friendly things. Give them a share. I think that's the main way you can show your support without paying money is sharing our stuff around. Mm-hmm. And I reckon Heavy Rain Let's Play Part 1 is a good place to start with the sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people share stuff on the internet? Is that a...
They should make like a button or a series of buttons dedicated to sharing content, I think.
That sounds all right to me.
Yeah. Mm. For now, I guess just copy and paste.
Okay.
All right, so guys.
Print out a Word doc with the link on it and mail it to your friend.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Can I tell you a secret? I see texture popping. Nice. That's a fun little medium joke there.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, low.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.